Narayana namaskritya Narayachaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jaya mudiraye Nasta praje svabhadresu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati Uttamas Loke Bhakti Bhavati Nashtiki Vede Ramani Chaiva Purani Bharati Tata Hadanta Chamadi Chahari Savata Giyati Mukam Karati Vachalam Frango Langriti Gri Yakripataham Vande Sri Gurudinatarini Paramananda Madhava Dhamma Prajita Katavota Paramoni Masam Satan Vedan Vastavam Atavastu Shivadan Tabatayo Molana Shima Bhagavati Mahamuni Kitanki Vai Para Isvara Sadhyo Rudi Abharudra Tetra Kitavita Kishanan Negama Kabatali Kadutan Falam Sukamu Kandavasam Yutan Pibatam Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Mahurau Rasikabhu Vibhavaka Atoyam Brahma Sutradam Bharatata Vininaya Gayati Basaru Pusho Vidata Paribhimita Savabhidhiti Asanam Saram Saram Paribhimita Savabhidanta Saram Hinshri Bhagatam Yisati Tarasamita Syati Tasyana Yatya Syarati Kachit Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we are continuing the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 22, text 21-25. The descendants of Ajamida, and of course this is like the summary of from Mahabharata, these chapters which discussing the various dynasties, especially the Chandravamsa, the moon dynasty, which is the dynasty that Lord Krishna appeared. Lord Krishna appeared in the moon dynasty. Lord Ramachandra appeared in the Sun Dynasty, Suryavamsa. So, because we have two more chapters before we get to the 10th canto, which describes Lord Krishna's pastimes. So, I just read this text first. There are four texts, and then we all chant together the text 25. Vichita vidya chabara jo namna chitangado hataha Yasam parasarat sakshat avati no hare kalam Veda gupta mani krishno yato ham idan adhyagam Itva swasisham pailadim bhagavan badarayanaham Mayam putraya santaya param goyam idan jagau Bichitra viyo tavaha kasi raja sute balat Swayam vana upainite Andi kambalike hube Tayo asakari dayo Grito yakshmanam ritaha Translation Chitrangada, of whom Bichitra viya was the younger brother, was killed by Gandhava, who was also named Chitrangada. Satyavati, before her marriage to Santanu, gave birth to the master authority of the Vedas, Vyasadeva, known as Krishna Dwapayan, who was begotten by Parasara Muni. From Vyasadeva, I, Sukadeva Goswami, was born And from him, I studied this great work of literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. The incarnation of Godhead, Vedavyas, rejecting his disciples, headed by Pila, instructed Srimad Bhagavatam to me because I was free from all material desires. After Ambika and Ambalika, the two daughters of Kashiraj were taken away by force. Vichitravirya married them, but because he was too attached to these two wives, he had a heart attack and died of tuberculosis. So we read the next text. Ketre prajasya vai pratyo matrukto badarayana ditarastram cha pandum cha vidhuran chapi ajijanat ketre prajasya vai pratyo Matukto Badarayana Dhritarashtram Chapandum Cha Viduram Chapyaji Janat Ketve. In the wives and maidservant Aprajasya of Vichitravirya, who had no progeny. Vai, indeed, bratu, of the brother, Matraktaha, being ordered by the mother, Badarayanaha, Vidavyas, Dhritarashtram, a son named Dhritarashtra, Cha and Pandun, a son named Pandu. Cha, also Viduram, a son named Vidura. Cha, also Api, indeed, Ajijanat, begot. Translation and proper by the divine grace. Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Sila Prabhupada Ki. Badarayana, Sri Vyasadev, following the order of his mother, Satyavati, begot three sons, two by the womb of Ambika and Ambalika, the two wives of his brother, Vichitravirya, and the third by Vichitravirya's maidservant. These sons were Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura. Purport. Vichitravirya died of tuberculosis, and his wives, Ambika and Ambalika, had no issue. They have no sons. Therefore, after Vichitravirya's death, his mother, Satyavati, who was also the mother of Vyasadev, asked Vyasadev to beget children through the wives of Vichitravirya. In those days, the brother of the husband could beget children through the womb of his sister-in-law. This was known as Devarena Stotpati. If the husband was somehow unable to beget children, his brother could do so through the womb of his sister-in-law. This Devarena Stotpati, and the sacrifices of Ashwamedha and Gomedha are forbidden in the age of Kali. Ashwamedham Gabalambam Sanyasam Palapaitrikam Devarena Stotpatim Kalopancha Vivajayet. In this age of Kali, five arts are forbidden: the offering of a horse in sacrifice, the offering of a cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of the altar of sanyas, the offering of oblations of flesh to the forefathers, and a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. This is from Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Gurave, huh? Oh, okay. No, Papa, okay. Okay. So, text 26. Gandharvan Dhritarashtrasya Yagne Putra Satanipa Atra Duryodhano Jyeshtho Jyeshtho Dushala Chapi Kamyaka. Dhritarashtra's wife, Gandhari, gave birth to 100 sons and one daughter, O King. The oldest of the sons was Duryodhana, and the daughter's name was Dushala. Text 27 to 28. Sapan maituna rudasya pandu kuncha maharataha jata damanilindya bhyo yudhishthira mukhanstaya nakulam sahadevascha madunyam na satya dasayu dopadam pancha pancha bhya putraste pitaro bhavan. Pandu was restrained from sexual life because of having been caused by sage, and therefore his three sons, Yudhishthira, Bhima, and Arjuna, were begotten through the womb of his wife Kunti by Dhammaraj, by the demigod controlling the wind, and by the demigod controlling the rain. Pandu's second wife, Madri, gave birth to Nakul and Sahadev, who were begotten by the two Ashwini Kumaras. The five brothers, headed by Yudhishthira, begot five sons through the womb of Draupadi. These five sons were your uncles. This is Sukadev Goswami talking to Parikshit Maharaj. Text 29. Yudhishthira Prativindhyaya Prativindhyaya Shata Seno Brikodarat Arjuna Sutaketis Tu Satanika Sunakulihi. Translation. From Yudhishthira came a son named Prativindhya. From Bhima, a son named Sutasen. From Arjuna, a son named Sutakirti, and from Nakul, a son named Satanika. Text 30 to 31. It's a lot of verses, a lot of text. Okay. So text 30 to 31. O King, the son of Sahadev was Sutakama. Furthermore, Yudhishthira and his brothers begot other sons in other wives. Yudhishthira begot a son named Devaka through the womb of Pauravi, and Bhimasen begot a son named Katukacha through his wife Idimba, and a son named Sabhagata through his wife Kali. Similarly, Sahadev had a son named Suhotra through his wife named Vijaya, who was the daughter of the king of the mountains. Text 32. Nakula begot a son named Navamitra through his wife named Kareshumati. Similarly, Arjun begot a son, Iravan, through his wife known as Ulupi, the daughter of the Nagas, and a son named Babruvahan by the womb of the princess of Manipur. Babruvahan became the adopted son of the king of Manipur. So this is the history of the Manipur state. It is to be understood, this is purported by Srila Prabhupada, it is to be understood that Parvati is the daughter of the king of the very, very old mountainous country known as the Manipur state. 5,000 years ago, therefore, when the Pandavas ruled, Manipur existed, as did its king. Therefore, this kingdom is a very old aristocratic Vaishnav kingdom. If this kingdom is organized as a Vaishnav state, this revitalization will be a great success, because for 500 years, this state has maintained its identity. If the Vaishnav spirit is revived here, it will be a wonderful place, renowned throughout the entire world. Manipuri Vaishnavs are very famous in Vaishnav society. In Vrindavan and Navadvip, there are many temples constructed by the king of Manipur. Some of our devotees belong to the Manipur state. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, can be well spread in the state of Manipur by the cooperative efforts of the Krishna conscious devotees. So Manipur is a very unique state. You know, I was there a few years ago. Everyone is basically Vaishnavas. They all have Vaishnav cultures, and you know. So it's a very, very good tradition. Even though it's a very simple state, but the tradition is very, very unique, very, very simple tradition. There's Sankirtan everywhere, Nam Sankirtan everywhere, like that. So it's a very, auspicious place. So text 33, my dear King Parikshit, your father Abhimanyu was born from the womb of Subhadra as the son of Arjun. He was the conqueror of all Atiratas, those who could fight with 1,000 charioteers. From him, by the womb of Uttara, the daughter of Viradraja, you were born. Text 34. After the Kuru dynasty was annihilated in the battle of Kurukshetra, you also were about to be destroyed by the Brahmastra atomic weapon released by the son of Dronacharya, but by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, you were saved from death. Text 35. After the Kuru dynasty, my dear king, your four sons, Janamejaya, Sutasena, Bhimasena, and Ugrasena, are very powerful. Janamejaya is the eldest. Text 36. Because of your death by the Takshaka snake, your son Janamejaya will be very angry and will perform a sacrifice to kill all the snakes in the world. Text 37. After conquering throughout the world, and after accepting Tura, the son of Kasha, as his priest, Janamejaya will perform Ashwamedha Jaga, for which he will be known as Turaga Medasha. Text 38. The son of Janamejaya, known as Satanika, will learn from Jagavakya the three Vedas and the art of performing ritualistic ceremonies. He will also learn the military art from Kripacharya and the transcendental science from the sage Sonaka. Text 39. The son of Satanika will be Sahasranika, and from him will come the son named Ashwamedhaja. From Ashwamedhaja will come Asma Krishna, and his son will be Nemi Chakra. Text 40. When the town of Astinapur, New Delhi, is inundated by the river, Nimi Chakra will live in the place known as Kaushambi. His son will be celebrated as Chitrata, and the son of Chitrata will be Suchirata. Text 41. From Suchirata will come the son named Vrishtiman, and his son Susena will be the emperor of the entire world. The son of Susena will be Sunita, his son will be Nichakshu, and from Nichakshu will come a son named Sukhinala. Text 42. Wait a minute, it's too long. Quite long. Okay, keep reading. The son of Sukhinala will be Pariplava, and his son will be Sunaya. From Sunaya will come a son named Medavi. From Medavi, Nipanjaya Dhruva, and from Dhruva, Timi. Text 43. From Timi will come Brihadrata. From Brihadrata, Sudas, and from Sudas, Satanika. From Satanika will come Dudamana, and from him will come a son named Mainara. Text 44 to 45. The son of Mainara will be Dandapani, and his son will be Nimi, from whom King Kshemaka will be born. I have now described to you the moon god's dynasty, which is the source of Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, and is worshipped by demigods and great saints. In this Kali Yuga, Kshemaka will be the last monarch. Now, I shall describe to you the future of the Magadha dynasty. Please listen. Text 46 to 48. Sahadev, the son of Jarasandha, will have a son named Majari. From Majari will come Sutasrava. From Sutasrava, Yutayu. And from Yutayu, Niramitra. The son of Niramitra will be Sunakshatra. From Sunakshatra will come Bhyatsena. And from Bhyatsena, Kamajit. The son of Kamajit will be Sutanjaya. The son of Sutanjaya will be Vipra, and his son will be Suchi. The son of Suchi will be Kheman. The son of Kheman will be Subrata, and the son of Subrata will be Dharmasutra. From Dharmasutra will come Sama. From Sama, Dhumatsena. From Dhumatsena, Sumati. And Sumati, Subala. Text 49. From Subal we come Sunita. From Sunita, Satyajit. From Satyajit, Visrajit. And from Visrajit, Ripunjaya. All of these personalities will belong to the dynasty of Brihadrata, which will rule the world for 1,000 years. This is the history of a monarchy that began with Jarasandha and continues for 1,000 years as the above mentioned kings appear on the surface of the globe. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 22nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Descendants of Ajamida. Gurave Gurachandaya, Adikata Dalaye, Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya, Tabatayu Namo Nama, Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pistaya Bhutale, Sumati Bhakti, and Swami Tanamine, Namaste Sasati Devi Gauravani Pacharine, Nibisi Sasneva Dipasati Starine, Vanchakapa Tribus Chakripa, Sundi Vacha Paritana, Vasna Dio Namo Nama. So, we have read several texts about the descendants of Ajamida, who belong to the Moon Dynasty, and of course, then after this, which extend to the Kali Yuga, and after 1,000 years or so into Kali Yuga, then there'll be no more dynasty, there'll be no more ruling dynasty from Bharatvas. There's one book written by Srila Prabhupada. I kind of forgot the name. I keep trying to remember the name of this book. Anyway, in that book, Srila Prabhupada was explaining of how for several thousands and thousands of years, the rulers of the whole world, they are from India. For several thousands and thousands of years, which means hundreds of thousands of years, the rulers of the world are from India. You know, we're talking about from Satya Yuga all the way to, you know, Kali Yuga. So we're talking of millions and millions of years, at least 3-4 years. So, but in the last 4,000 years, it has shifted to other parts of the world. So Srila Prabhupada was explaining that how it's not really that significant that the whole world has been ruled by other persons, especially from the West and all that. Whereas India has been known to be the ruling country for ages and ages and ages. So Srila Prabhupada was explaining that how we should not be so much captivated by the fact that yes, everything has shifted. I'm trying to remember the title of this book. I've been looking for it because there's some quotations, there's some passages that Srila Prabhupada mentioned in that book. How Srila Prabhupada is saying that the problems of this world, which is always giving everyone anxieties, whereby everyone have no rest. So Srila Prabhupada was explaining that actually this material world will always be like that. There will never be any rest in anywhere. You see, just like what is going on nowadays, either in a pandemic or riot in America, and everyone is so much panicky going on. But that is the nature of the material world. The material world is like that. So therefore, we cannot make much of it. The best thing is to find a way to get out. Find a way to get out. That's the only bit, the best way. So many dynasties have been explained here, and especially we began with this Sukadev Goswami explaining about the birth leading to the appearance of Dhritarashtra and the Pandu and Vidura. So and of course Vyasadev, who is the author of the Vedas, is popularly known as Veda Vyas, because his mother was Satyavati, his mother. And Satyavati was later married to Maharaj Santana. But previous to that, Satyavati, she had given birth to Vyasadev, which she gave birth before her marriage. So, I think in the previous verse, it was explained that Satyavati, even though she was known as the daughter of a fisherman, but she was not given birth by the fisherman. A Vasu named Upacharika, something like that, who discharged his semen in the water, and the semen was swallowed by a fish. That must be, and then the fish gave birth to Satyavati. So of course that must be a very big fish, you know, it's not a small fish. And then the fisherman, he saw a girl in the water. He saw, I think when he was fishing, he saw a girl in the water. So this fisherman, he picked up the girl and raised the girl as his own. So, just to cut the story short, because being raised by the fisherman and always on the fishing boat, so her body, obviously, even though she had a divine origin, but her body will emanate the fishy odor, you know, because she was always on the in the boat. So one time, And of course, she will always take people across the river. She will take people across the river. And this lady, she was also of a very exceptional beauty. Very, very beautiful. So one time, Parashara Muni, he needed to cross a river. And then Parashara Muni, he saw the girl and asked her to take him across the river. But at the same time, Parashara Muni was very, very attracted to this lady because she was such an extreme beauty. So he was very, very attracted to her. And then so Parashara Muni, he proposed to her that he would like to copulate with her. He wanted to copulate with her. So Satyavati, she agrees. She says, okay, I will only on the condition that, you know, the odor of my body remove, and also I want to be able to retain my virginity, because otherwise, if I give birth, then no man will ever marry me again. Because she knows that Parashara Muni will not, you know, keep her as his wife. So I said, okay, I need to be able to maintain my virginity, and at the same time, all this fishy odor will remove. So in the middle of the river, because Parashara Muni is a great mystic, so he created an island, and then within that island, he had a union with Satyavati. And of course, the odor of her body was completely removed, and she was emanating such a fragrance which can be smelled for miles and miles and miles, you know. So in the island, Vyasadeva was born. So Vyasadeva was born within the island. So that's why Vyasadeva is known as Krishna Dwapayan Vyas, because it was born within the island, of which the island which was created by Parashara Muni. And when he was born, immediately grew up. He did not. It's not that he was raised as a baby. No. Immediately became a full-grown man immediately. And then she was, and because being a great sage, so he was ready to leave. And then he told his mother that anytime you need me, just think of me. Just then I will immediately appear. So, and then so Vyasadeva, he disappeared. Of course, now Vyasadeva is also called to be the incarnation of God, the incarnation of Krishna. It's an incarnation. So that's why it's called incarnation, and also being a Veda Vyas, because he compared the Vedic scriptures, the Vedas, Upanishad, and all that. So it's called a Veda Vyas, Vyasadeva, but also Krishna Dwapayan Vyas. So he was responsible, of course, for writing the Vedas, compiling the Vedas. And of course, is the topmost. After compiling the Vedas, the Upanishads, he wasn't satisfied. But then he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this Srimad Bhagavatam, he taught Sukadeva Goswami. Now, some important point is that normally the compilers of the Vedas, they are known as Vyas. The compilers of the Vedas. That's the very title. Now this name Vyas does not necessarily mean a particular person. It's like Vyas is like a title. You know, it's not that one particular person. It's not that. So it means there can be many Vyasadeva. Actually, there have been many Vyasadeva. It's not just one person. So there's Veda Vyas. There's a Krishna Dwapana Vyas, who is an incarnation of God, who happened to compile the Vedas. But there have been many other Vyasadeva. So which means all the compilers of the Vedic scriptures, they are giving that title Vyasadeva. Just like when you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, also many times, Vrindavan Das Thakur, we said that in the future, the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be further explained by Vyasadev. Okay. And it's also mentioned that in the next kapha, the next Vyas will come, and it's going to be Ashwatthama. Because this always, you know, pursue me, that Akan Ashwatthama, who was such an ignorant person, is going to be the next Vyas, the next Vyas. This is explained in the Devi Purana, that Vyas, the next Vyas is going to be Ashwatthama. Because Ashwatthama is Chiranjeev. He has no death. He's a Chiranjeev. There are so many personalities who are called Chiranjeev. They have no death. Hanuman is one of them. Vyasadev. So many personalities are there. Even we read in the previous passage, I think Devapi, who was the older brother of Marasantana, he said also be Chiranjeev in the next kapha, in the next Satyug, he's going to come to reestablish the Moon Dynasty in the next Satyug. So there are many Chiranjeev are there. So Ashwatthama is going to be the next Vyasadev. I think when we put Deva there, that means God, correct? Am I correct, Prabhu? Maharaj? Am I correct in my narration? Okay. So, and then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was explaining that many scriptures we read today, like Ramayana or Mahabharata. He said that Ramayana was, even though supposedly composed by Valmiki Muni, but actually the finishing of Ramayana actually took place by another person in the name of Valmiki, which took place around 500 BC. There's one book, Prabandhavali. This is like it's a list of essays by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then it's also mentioning that Mahabharata, as we know it today, was not necessarily compiled by Srila Vyasadev, Veda Vyas. It was compiled by another person in the name of Vyasadev. So he mentioned that Mahabharata was originally composed in a sutra by Vyasadev, but another person came later on, and in the name of another Vyas, he expanded that to make it into 100,000 Vyases that we have today. Now, I'll just read something, which was from this book by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Let me see, I'll just read some passages. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, it is said that the Mahabharata was composed by Vyasadev, and there is no objection to this. But it cannot be accepted that Vyas, who divided the Vedas and received the title Veda Vyas at the time of Yudhishthira, was the same Vyas. The reason for this is that in the Mahabharata there are descriptions of kings such as Janamejaya, who ruled after Yudhishthira. There are specific references about the manuscripts in the Mahabharata, and therefore the present-day Mahabharata must have been written sometime after 1000 BC. From this, it appears that Vidavyas first made a draft of the Mahabharata, and later on, another Vyas elaborated on it and presented that under the name of Mahabharata. One learned scholar from the Sudra community named Lomahasana recited Mahabharata before the sages at Namisaranya. Now listen to this. Perhaps he created the present-day Mahabharata because during his time, the original 2000 400 verses that were written by Vyasadeva were expanded to 100,000 verses. Now, we have to consider when Lumhasan lived. When did he live? Because it is stated that he was killed by Baladev. From this incident, it is to be understood that if one becomes a learned devotee, he should be respected as a Brahmana, even if he is a Sudra. The Vaishnava community of that time created this incident in order to confirm this statement. Actually, that assembly gathered long after the time of Baladev. The Lumhasan, who is said to be Vyasadeva's disciple, may not have even been the speaker of that assembly. So, this is a very long article, of course, whereby Slabakin Thakur is trying to put it the proper perspective of how we can have the understanding of these scriptures. Because the scriptures are normally not compiled by just one person. They're usually more than one person who are involved in the compilation of the scriptures. Now, and of course, you also talk about the Bhagavatam also. There's one book, the Krishna Samhita. If some of you have read it, you also mention some of these statements also there in the Krishna Samhita. So the Vyasadeva. We don't have so much time. So Vyasadeva of course is popularly known as the Vedavyas, the compiler of the Vedas. And according to the history we are reading here, that being a brother of Vichitravya, Chitrangada was previously killed, and then Vichitravya, he became the king, but he was married to two wives, Ambalika and Ambika. But somehow Vichitravya, he died of tuberculosis. So, and because the kingdom have no progeny, there's no issue in the kingdom, and also because of the vow of Bhishmadev, who had made a vow never to rule the kingdom or to produce children, he had made a vow. Even though Satyavati, after the death of Vichitravya, he did ask Vyasadeva that you should produce children, you should get married and produce children. Vyasadeva replied, he said, "My vow is my vow." He said, "No, I will never do that." So, not Vyasadeva, sorry, Bhishmadev. Okay. So, now the Mother Satyavati, so she thought of Vyasadeva, because she always thinking of her son. So she thought of Vyasadeva, who happened to be her son before she married Santana. So Vyasadeva appeared, and then Mother Satyavati asked him to beget children in the womb of the two wives of Vichitravya, in this case Ambika and Ambalika. So in the purport that we are reading, which the Prabhupada wrote, that in those previous days, what was known as a Devarina Sutapati, that is possible that a woman can ask her brother-in-law to produce a child in her womb if she had no children from her husband who has passed away. So this was what happened. That Mother Satyavati asked Vyasadeva to produce children in the womb of the wife of Vichitravya. And of course, the story is there, how Dhritarashtra was born, how Pandu was also born, and also how Vidura was also born. Because the way Vyasadeva, impregnated them. But the verse which is studied here is that in this age, it's not possible, those kind of things are forbidden. Like the act of begetting children in the womb of one's brother's wife. This is forbidden in this age of Kali. So there are five items which are forbidden. Ashwalambam and Ashwamedham, Gavalambam, Sanyasham, Palapatrikam, Devarina Stotpatim, Kalo Pancha Vivajayet, that in this age of Kali, five things are forbidden, five acts, which means the offering of a horse in sacrifice, the offering of a cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of the order of sannyas, the offering of oblations of flesh to the forefathers, and a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. So these five things are forbidden in the age of Kali. Now, there are some consideration here. When Mahaprabhu, when he was talking with Chankasi, because that time Mahaprabhu was telling Chankasi that that you Muslims are so sinful because you are killing cows, that in your next life you're going to take birth for as many hairs are on the body of the cow. So Chankasi was arguing with Mahaprabhu that in your scripture, in your Vedic scriptures, the provision for cow killing is also there. So why are you saying that, if we kick out, we're going to suffer? It's also there in your scriptures. So Mahaprabhu quoted this verse. He said, no, because in this age of Kali, there are no proper qualification. There are no proper brahmanas who can chant the mantras. Because the act of cow killing is not really a cow killing. It's an act of mercy whereby an old cow will be given a new life. Because the brahmanas, they will chant the proper mantra. By chanting the proper mantra, the old cow will be given a new life. So it's not really cow killing. It's actually a mercy which has been given to the cow. But this age of Kali, the brahmanas don't have such qualification. They cannot chant, they don't have the potency to chant such mantra. So therefore, the act is forbidden in the age of Kali. The same time also we have sannyas, that the act of taking sannyas is also forbidden. But at the same time also, we have many sannyasis. All these Vaishnava Sampradayas, they are taking sannyas. All the acharyas, they are taking sannyas. But at the same time, he said that sannyas is forbidden. But so, in order to understand this, it is forbidden. But there is a purpose why the Vaishnava takes sannyas. Because sannyas ashram is an ashram that everyone, the general public, they respect. The sannyasis are respect. So therefore, when the Vaishnava, when they take sannyas, it's not because they want to show their pride or their pride of sensation, but because for the purpose of preaching Krishna consciousness, so therefore they take sannyas. Because by taking sannyas, it's an ashram of authority. It's an ashram of authority whereby people, they will prefer to hear from a sannyasi than to hear from just ordinary preacher. So therefore the sannyas ashram is very, very important ashram. So so this is there. Even though it's very, very difficult to actually have all these roles, but somehow in the age of Kali, for the service of the Lord, so we have the act like sannyas. And of course, other aspects like Ashwamedha, horse sacrifice, or the offering of flesh to the forefathers, or the begetting of children in the womb of the one's brother's wife. So all these acts, they are all forbidden. So in this way, we have this narration in Bhagavatam, and the various dynasties which have been described. And then from tomorrow onward, the dynasty of the sons of Yayati, King Yayati, this will be described. It's a very, very interesting, very, very interesting dynasty. The dynasty of King Yayati, because this is where the Kauravas, the Yadavas, this is where this dynasty that you all, come from. So I'm going to stop if there's some comments. Prabhupada Maharaj, you want to say something about this? Like to add something, Maharaj?
Many times the Prabhupada quotes this verse.
Yeah.
I am prohibited in this age of Kali. So, and then Prabhupada supported the sannyasa also. So, my experience appears that without being a sannyasi, one can preach. But if you are Grihastha, you are Prithivanyasi, Sutrati, and anybody can preach.
Yeah.
How come that some soul is suggesting why you want to preach that you should take sannyasi?
I mean, so there's much of authority, the authority that is there. Yes, anyone can preach. Yeah, anyone can preach. Only that the people, they take the word of a sannyasi more serious. Yeah, that is true. I mean, just like we have to see when my Prabhu took sannyas, he said, because I have to deliver all these people, all the offenders, Pashandis, who are criticizing him. He said, but if I take sannyas, they will give respect, because everyone respects sannyasi. So therefore, all these person, they will automatically give me honor, and this will, they will be relieved of their offenses. So that's the main reason why my Prabhu, you know, took sannyas. So I guess the Vaishnava who takes sannyas, they follow my Prabhu's, you know, footstep. That way. And also, as you know, Maharaj, you know, the Grihastha preacher and the sannyas preacher, people take the sannyas preacher more serious. It's a common thing. Oh, Maharaj, you know. Whereas Grihastha, not so much. So that's the reality, you know. Yes, as you say, it's not really necessary to take sannyas, because after Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he did not take sannyas. But he was a great preacher, he was a great, you know, deliverer. He didn't take sannyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I was just saying that, yes, as Maharaj said, sannyas life is not necessary, but ultimately, you know, I wanted to take sannyas for preaching purposes, for preaching, for more, you know, sacrifice, for more dedications, you know, and all that. Because if sannyas normally, he has no other business than increasing his love of Krishna and also giving Krishna to others, basically. So, you know. But anybody can preach, of course. There's no Kepa Vipra Kepa Nyose Sudakininoi. Yes, Krishna Tavita Se Gruhoi. So my Prabhu said, you know. Yeah. Okay, you want to
you
Mm-hmm. So at the same time, how can we explain this to the person who doesn't know the exceptionalities of the abortion? Of course, we don't expect you to have the answer. Of course, well, you know, we can have the answer, but at the same time, everybody can be a light question who likes to answer this.
Actually, there are many, many cultures in the world whereby the practice of if a man dies and a brother is young, the wife can actually marry the brother of the wife, can actually marry the brother of her husband. There are many, many cultures in the world that this is going on today. Even, some in India, some part of Asia is there. We also have it in Africa. There are many, many cultures that actually accept that. So it's not really entirely abominable, you know, if a woman is young and her husband has died, that she cannot have a relation with her brother-in-law. Many, many cultures do that. It's there. So it's not that it's something that is, he's so sinful, No, that's not true. Many, many cultures do that. Now, in this particular, what's been described in the scriptures, the injunction whereby Devarina Sutot Patim, because in the Vedic time, whereby if a woman has not have children before her husband died, then she can have children from the brother of her husband. So in order to continue the dynasty, the heritage, so it actually makes perfect sense. It's nothing, you know. Then of course, as you are saying that, how do we preach this to people? So that's why you have to be an expert preacher yourself. Certain things are forbidden in Kali Yuga, you know. So you have to be an expert preacher. You know, certain things you may preach, you know, after all, you're not going to go on the Sangitan on the street. I start saying that, before people, they can have children in the womb of their brother's wife. You're not going to, you know, our preaching to common people is not this, you know, let me see, the preaching, it goes on different levels. There's a common preaching for general public, and there's a preaching to people who actually know. So which means a preacher is the one who's actually very, very expert in presenting the subject. So which means you have to know your audience, and you have to know what to give to your particular audience. Just like, for instance, we don't go out on the public and start talking about Krishna Lila. No, we don't. We can talk about Krishna Lila among the selective audience, those who actually, you know, of that mood. But we cannot talk of Krishna Bhakti Ras, the love of Krishna and Gopis. So the general public, we just don't do that. So the preacher has to be, you know, to be expert in the way of presentation, in knowing the audience and what to say. Maharaj, you want to add to it, Maharaj? Okay. All right, Maharaj said no. Okay. Anybody want to add something to that? You want to say something? Anyway, special time. So, thank you very much. Grant Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gopi Manande.